Welcome to another episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy. I'm Amy.
I'm Dave.
I'm Chad.
And I'm Eli.
And we are coming at you this week with an episode on the tarot.
The Trionfi?
The Trionfi. Most people, when you think of tarot readers, what do you picture? Like a fortune
crazy
teller.
Crazy old lady with the crystal ball on the table.
Gypsy.
And a dusty old dark room. Some incense burning.
Mm. Oh, let me tell you your future.
She wants money.
Yeah. I also think about the lady from Holes. You guys ever saw that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen Teen Witch?
Yeah.
Movie in the 80s? Late 80s?
No.
It's a great movie. I love that movie. But it's got the lady from Poltergeist, the little tiny lady.
Oh.
All right. She's like a fortune teller psychic in that movie. And that was usually what I would picture would be that. Because I think she even read tarot cards in the movie. It's a great movie. Definitely recommend it.
Go watch it.
Yes.
All right. That concludes today's episode.
But that's what I like to refer to as the Hollywood tarot reader. You know, just the witch and the fortune teller and the movie Carnival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show Carnival. There's the tarot reader. That's a really good
show. Any show with about a carnival or whatever always has the
Carnival is awesome.
The card reader.
And Carnival is based around Oklahoma and Texas.
That's why it's so fucked
because
up.
Because they're during the Dust Bowl. Good stuff. Most tarot readers are like Dave and I. And although my house may be dusty and sometimes I burn incense, it's not quite the same. In truth, most people who do tarot don't really do it for money. Most who do it for themselves or maybe some other people that they know. I mean, you have people who do it for money and travel around and do it. But I would say probably more people do it just for personal development.
Well, kind of like we talked about on the mediums episode, where for me, the ones who do it for money, majority of them I feel do it as a scam. And kind of give tarot readings bad names because they do it for money.
Well,
so they're going to give you, they're going to tell you what you want to hear.
You get them as Cleos. You know, those TV ads that used to be all over in the 90s. If you go onto a tarot website to just research it, and there's going to be 50 ads that pop up like, click here for a free tarot reading.
You look it up in YouTube, there's a place that does it every day. And it's like, pick your number, and they do a tarot reading for that number, and it's
But I think for the most part, people are like me and Dave that maybe just dabble in it a little bit more. You've got to have your people who really get deep into it and do it for money and for entertainment purposes. Now, there is a big misconception with a tarot, and that is that you can tell the future with a tarot. And I think I even said this with when we did the mediums episode, and we were talking about the difference between the psychics and the mediums. I don't think you can predict the future. I think it's impossible to predict the future because I feel like the future is fluid.
And the future is always changing.
And depending on your choices that you make are going to change the future outcome.
Yeah.
Now, I think that there are predetermined events that will happen in your life that are preset.
I think everybody has
based off of karmic issues from past lives and things that you need to accomplish in this life to learn to, ascend and all that. But for the most part, it's pretty fluid and it's going to change.
It's one of those, I was reading with the tarot. I mean, tarot is more of reading the person themselves and most of it to help them for the future. It's more of things to help them in the future. And we're oh, this is the card of this. You should, maybe you should be doing this more often instead of this to open up your life to something.
I do a lot of path readings. And in my path readings, it's okay, if I stay on the exact path that I am on right now, is it going to be beneficial for me? And in the reading, it'll tell me, this is what is pushing you. This is what could hinder you. This is what's helping you, and this is what would probably be the outcome if you didn't change anything. But then along the way, it kind of gives you ideas about, if you don't want this to be the outcome, maybe pay attention to this negative force in your life and see if there's a way you can get rid of that negative force. or see if there's a way you can harness that negative force to turn it into a positive, you know?
Yeah.
If it says you're bad at handling money, take a class on how to handle money. Yeah, you know, there's lots
I
of
handle money every day.
I handle money.
Just it's at work, and I don't get to keep any of it.
I don't handle my own money well. I handle other people's money better than I handle mine.
I bought a $32 yo-yo on Amazon the other day, and that's not what I'm doing.
Does it work pretty good?
I haven't gotten in yet. Well, we can blame Grandma for that.
So the yo-yo contest that we had at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, got me itching and burning.
Mm-hmm. Is it hourglass or normal?
It's a butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The spring-loaded one.
No, it's not. It's a Dunkin' Butterfly.
Uh-huh. Dunkin' Butterfly.
Dunkin' Butterfly, but it's like metal, so it's all pretty.
What were the spring ones? Those were what I loved. I was good at those.
You're good at the things that only have one purpose,
uh-huh.
and they only do that one thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, if it does the work for me, I like it.
That's why you're the boss. So.
That is why I am management. And Dave, you want to tell us a little bit about the history of the tarot?
Yeah. Playing cards were first seen in Europe around 1375. Now, these were just your basic playing card deck of 52 cards. Some people have suggested that the tarot was designed based on the four suits of the basic deck, you know, hearts, diamonds, spades, clubs. But the first set of actual tarot cards doesn't appear in history until around 1440. Now, in 1440, the Duke of Milan, in Italy, requested several decks of triumph cards be made for a special event. In the triumph deck, there are four suits with cards numbering 1 to 10, and also the court cards of queen, king, knight, and page. Now, these decks also included 22 symbolic pictures of cards that did not belong to any suit. Triumph was similar to bridge. In Triumph, 21 of the 22 special picture cards were permanent trump cards. The game spread quickly through Europe, and around 1530, people began referring to it as Tarocchi, which is Italian for the French word tarot. People would even have decks of cards commissioned by artists who would hand paint each card in the deck. People would even pose to have their likenesses placed onto the cards by these artists. But then in around 1781, the people who studied the occult discovered that there is a little more to the pictures than meets the eye. And they began using the tarot for divining purposes. There are some origin stories that say the tarot was actually brought over from Egypt. There are even a few sources that state that it may have started in Jewish communities.
Yeah, and they actually, the original playing cards were brought over by the Islamic people to Europe.
Well, the game, like, they were actually, at some point, they were actually called triumphy cards, which...
It's pronounced triumph, but that makes more sense that it's Trump, though.
Yeah.
I just said triumph because...
That's what it's spelled.
The English word.
Yeah. One of the first actual recorded like tarot readings was for Jean-Baptiste Elliot or something like that. He was a high-ranking general in the French army under Napoleon. He went in kind of undercover. He was saying he was a businessman to this lady to have the tarot read. And the first card was like the king of clubs or king of swords or something like that. And so she instantly knew he wasn't a businessman and called him out on it. And then he explained who he was. Well, she continued. I don't remember exactly what the cards were that were flipped, but she was claiming that it looks like someone close to him would become an emperor and that in the future he would become a king. And then there's one more thing that they did, but soon after Napoleon became the emperor of France, after Napoleon's downfall, he Jean-Baptiste became the king of Sweden. And so all these things that he had read all actually came real.
Fruition,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now I wish I could have some cards flipped and be like, oh, you're going to become the king. And I'm like, sweet. But we just know it's not going to happen.
The king of burgers.
Burger King, BK Lounge, baby. Can't go there in the Chef Coops. Mm-hmm. We can have it your way. No, but whenever when I saw that and heard that story, it was really, really interesting. Because everybody already says, or like you had said, they're not really used for telling the future, but more so like with your line of tarot, it's like kind of path readings.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in a way, you could still do that. Like if you, I mean, it would still show that same thing.
This part at this time, too, could very easily become, well, she found out who he was.
Yeah.
And
knew he was under Napoleon, and Napoleon was trying to take over France. And just was able to kind of spout out things.
Now, I will say something I've never had done is I've never had an actual professional tarot reading. And the Spirit Fair that we talked about in the Medium episodes, they always have tarot readers at the Spirit Fair. And we need to go sometime and get tarot read.
Need an episode on
Where's that at?
She's got three different ones. She has one in Oklahoma City at the Wyndham Hotel. And then she does one in Tulsa. And she's got a new one that she just started, I think, in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
OKC?
Yeah, the OKC. I've been to the OKC one, but I didn't have any readings done there. I went for her medium reading that she does there. Mom has had her tarot read there a few times. I like to go around and look at all the crystals and tarot cards and all that stuff that are for sale. Because they got stuff for sale and all kinds of stuff.
Feel a lot of energy and stuff like that, too.
Oh my gosh. The very first one I went to, I was standing there and I'm not a huge crowd person. I just don't like big crowds. And I'm already tense because of that. But there's so much energy in the room that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I couldn't breathe. And Cindy, the medium, came up, and I don't know if she even remembers this or if she did this on purpose, but she came up and she just started rubbing my back. I didn't know who she was at the time. I'm just like, why the hell is this lady touching me? You know, but she just came up and she kind of rubbed her hand on my back. And then as soon as she did that, I just kind of went and felt so more, well, so
as
much
a medium,
ease.
She could probably feel the
she
tension.
She could probably feel it. But it was the most interesting thing because it was almost instantaneous. I felt release.
And well, for someone like, who has, what do you call it? Your
craziness?
Yes.
Psychotic tendencies. Sensitivities?
Sensitive. Maybe that's not the right word either. Well, when you can feel the thing, like feel things.
Shut up. I know what you're talking about.
You can feel paranormal. Hey, you can feel energy.
You're sensitive to it?
Whatever the word is. There's an actual word for it. But
I know what you mean, yeah.
I just cannot think of it, and thanks for making fun of me.
I'm
going home. Eli, have fun.
I don't know.
I'll take on your persona. It's fine.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of the deal is. Because, I mean, first of all, crystals hold a lot of energy. And there are literally thousands of crystals in this room. Then you've got people who are reading tarot. And you've got people who are doing aura readings. And you've got people that are doing chakra realignments. And you've got...
Then you have the psychics readings.
And all that stuff.
My mom, for instance, I forgot what kind of system it was, but she spent time over in China. And there was like some sort of system that they used. But it was all about chakra and alignment. And she did that to me one time. And I swear, like, I had, like, it was weird. Like, I was always banging my whole body against everything.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Yeah.
You're always banging your mom.
That's so weird. Anyways, I was in a very, I was very klutzy. And every time I either had, like, back pains or whatever, it was, she did that. And it always.
Mom tried to do that. Our mom tried to do that
for
a little while.
Our mom did some healing touch. She learned healing touch. And. Actually, there was one time I had strep, and it was not getting better, I'd been through a round of antibiotics. It still wasn't getting better. She did the healing touch that night. I started feeling better.
All right, back to the tarot.
Yeah, we're back to tarot. we kind of wambled. We wambled.
We wambled on and on and on.
All right.
She's a wambling man.
I am not a man.
Sometimes. Oh. Okay, so...
All right, so... The tarot deck. In the tarot deck, you have four suits of cards, 1 through 10. And along with that, you have the court cards, of course, the queen, king, knight, and page. And in each of these cards have different meanings based on their suit. These cards are referred to as minor arcana. And then there are 21 cards that are referred to as major arcana. The major arcana tend to show up in readings that are very important events. They're life-changing events. They're like, you know, births, deaths, I mean... They're that important of a card.
Yeah, like career changes or changes in your security and things like that. Yeah.
And in fact, in readings that you have multiple major arcana that flip, those are readings that you really need to pay close attention to, because there's something very important about them. And I've done readings where I have none, and then I've done readings where I have tons. It happens. Now, the core cards tend to represent people, and it could be a person that's getting the reading. It could be an aspect of that person or an aspect of a person that they know. It could be a person they know, something like that. Gender is not important with the cards, because a male can very much be the Queen of Heart, or the Queen of Hearts, the Queen of Cups, and a female could very much be the King of Swords. It doesn't matter.
It's just a personality of that person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just depends on their personality and how they interact with the world. I tend to represent people I know as the court cards, just to help me remember them. Like, our grandmother is the Queen of Swords. She's very strong, independent, and she's going to tell it to you like it is.
Yeah.
She's not really going to care much about hurting your feelings if it's going to get the job done. Whereas our mom is more of the Queen of Cups, who is ruled more by emotions and makes choices off of emotion and intuition versus logic, say. You know, it's going to be, I feel like this is what we need to do, and she's going to do it. Whereas the Queen of Swords is going to be like, I know this is how this has to be done, so this is how we're going to do it. Then you got the Queen of Wands. It's a little different than that. And then you got the Queen of Pentacles. It's different than that. But that's just kind of how I remember the court cards. Because the court cards are very hard for me to remember. I don't know why. There's actually fewer court cards than there are any other cards in the deck. And I have the hardest time remembering the court cards. And then, like, our grandfather, I view him as more of a major arcana card. And I view him more as, like, the Emperor. And he's a very strong leader, but that's compassionate, but also strict. But he knows what's best for all of the people. That very much describes Pawpaw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Balanced and fair. Yeah. And
strict, but compassionate. You know, he'll yell at you, and then he'll give you a hug, you know? because you needed to be yelled at, because you did something stupid. But, I mean, there are 78 different cards. So any way that helps you remember them is a beneficial thing. And each card is going to be different based off of where it shows up in the spread and what cards show up with it. And it's very complicated, and we're not going to be able to teach people how to do tarot on this episode. But if you want to learn how to do tarot, there are tons of books, YouTube videos.
Tons of YouTube videos. There's ones for beginners, and then there's, like, in-depth ones. I tried watching a few of the beginner ones, and one I did not like the lady who was doing it. So I gave up on it and watched another one, which was a little bit easier.
And, I mean, going back to the medium, Cindy actually teaches tarot reading. So you can actually take classes with actual teachers as well.
Now, I know we've done an episode on, like, OMs before, where OMs are pretty much defined by the reader of them. Mm-hmm. But tarot is one of those things where it already has a definition. You're just learning the symbols of it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a universal across the board.
And the symbols only mean so much. A lot of it is intuition. And there's a point in which you're reading tarot that you have to stop thinking and just
start listening. Let's
start listening, to what your intuition's telling you that these cards mean. Because you can sit there and you can know the meaning of every single card, but you have to figure out how they connect.
And how they connect with the person you're reading for.
Yeah. And how they connect with the person you're reading for in the manner in which the questions were asked. Because,
as well as its place in the spread.
Yeah. When Dave and I were learning this, we were doing tarot back and forth for each other. And at first we started doing it, we weren't asking questions. We're just trying to play the cards and read it. You get some weird spreads when you don't have a question. We'd get somewhere like, all right, this kind of works together. But you got to where you were, like, forcing things to make sense.
That was, like, one of the YouTube videos I was watching. She's doing it pretending she's the client as well. And things just, she was making things up to make it relatable to her. But at the same time, she's like, I'm not asking questions, so this doesn't really work.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it made it really hard to watch the video. I'm like, I don't understand this because you're just saying, these answer the question. What the hell is the question?
I saw a video by Ben Lucas. And he does a tarot presentation that's about 2 hours long. and he goes through.
I think I saw that one on there, but card. I didn't watch it. Didn't have time.
It's really good because he approaches it more like, this is what the suits mean. This is what the numbers mean. Boom, now you know 50 cards.
Yeah. He goes through the major arcana, which are numbered 0 through 21.
With the fool being 0.
Yeah.
So the fool always starts it or ends it.
Yeah.
It's the Omega card.
Yes. And he explains what each of those cards are. So then when you go to the minor arcana, he's like, okay, one. One is the magician. It's the start. It's the... You have everything you need to start
one
whatever
is
it is.
One is the loneliest number.
Yeah,
that you ever know.
And then he goes through all the aces and then how they're different from each other based on the suit.
Yeah, and that's a really good video. Actually, Dave and I watched that one a couple of times. We actually sat with pen and paper and we're watching it and we'd rewind it and catch what he said and all that stuff. That was a good one.
I have to watch that one. I'm kind of interested in this now after doing research. I kind of want to buy a deck and learn how to do this.
The suits can vary based off of your deck. Like, each deck is a little different, but the basic suits are going to be wands, swords, cups, and pentacles.
Pentacles are coins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's going to depend on your deck.
And there's...
I've seen other ones that are different.
Usually with the artwork, there's the ancient elements attached to them, where the swords are represented by fire, the cups by water, the wands by wind, and the pentacles are coins by the earth.
Yeah. And also, wands tend to be associated with your passions and projects, swords, activities and movement, cups, emotions and intuition, and pentacles are physical and the material world. They each kind of have their own little areas in which they are dominant.
And they can also represent different classes of people as well. Along the minor arcana, like your pentacles is usually like your really grounded people that aren't very spiritual and stuff. They just kind of go through their everyday mundane lives, you know. You have the cup people are like the people you're in close relationships with.
Yeah.
Family, can even be clergy and things if you're a spiritual person. Your swords typically represent somebody from the higher class. I don't even know what that would mean in today's society. Maybe bosses
or
and
authority figures.
Yeah, politicians, things like that. And then your wands is like your working class.
Yes.
Your tradesmen and your merchants and your...
Well, I just know that I feel like I have evolved from being the Queen of Cups because I was very much that emotionally... intuition-driven person. To hear the past year or so,
you got that from our mother for sure.
I've definitely become a little bit more wandsy, where I'm more project and goal oriented.
Yeah,
and I think a little bit more logically now versus I feel like this is how this should work, and then it usually did. It didn't hurt to be that way. It just I've shifted, and I can feel that self awareness shift.
So I don't know who I would be.
I think you're more of a pentacle.
You think so?
I think you were a sword, and I think you kind of turned into a pentacle. You're more earthly.
I don't know anything about these, really. So,
is there a dragon? Can I be a dragon?
No.
You can get a dragon deck. Dave's got a dragon deck.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All different types of decks.
I got a deck that was designed by one of my fellow druids.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's a little different. It doesn't have like
it's
the
a druid tarot, yeah,
and the devil in it and stuff like that.
Well, there are certain tarot decks designed for if you're like a druid or if you're a brony. There's certain ones designed for kind of the person's beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Still reads the same, but the cards are named a little bit different or changed to help fit their beliefs.
There are so many different types of decks out there. I saw some really cool glow-in-the-dark decks and like blacklight decks.
There's kiddie decks. Well, like the first actual... tarot deck designed for this divinational purposes and stuff was the Ridley Scott's deck, tarot decks, is what the information I got.
Well, the most common deck that is used today is the Rider deck.
That's what Rider's something.
The Rider deck was created by the Rider Company in 1910, and it was drawn by Pamela Coleman Smith. If you look at pictures of the Rider deck, you will have seen it somewhere. I mean, heck, even
for movies, I think they mainly use the Riders one. It's the artwork is very, it's very detailed, but
very simplistic
at the same time, and it stands out.
Well, the people under the stairs, the sister in that one used that deck.
And
the fool, he had the card that he'd carry around and stuff.
I've been looking at a lot of decor with tarot stuff, and most of the decor with tarot is the Rider deck.
Yeah.
If you take a class, your teacher's going to request that you have the Rider deck. Teachers teach from the Rider deck because when you're learning tarot, you look at your deck and you associate the meanings of the cards with the images on the cards. Mm-hmm. And so if the teacher is teaching it, she wants everybody to have the same pictures. She doesn't want to be like, well, your ponies are saying this and your, you know,
your Star Wars characters are saying this.
Obi-Wan is not. Yeah, basically, they want you to all have the same cards. Yeah. And then from there, you can branch out. I personally have never had a Rider deck.
I think my first one will probably be a Rider. But the ones I'm most interested in are the Thoth tarot cards, which were designed by Aleister Crowley.
Mr. Crowley.
Dun, 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 dun. Just because Aleister Crowley, with the Order of the Golden Dawn, pushed so much. Like, these cards actually have a lot of the Order of the Golden Dawn. Like, I'm not sure how to say this. He modeled them after things of the Golden Dawn. So it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah. My deck that I use is actually at Shadowscape's deck. And it's by Stephanie Pulimon Law. They're beautiful watercolor images. I love them. I think they're so pretty. But there was one card in my deck that is actually what sold me on the deck. And I was telling you guys earlier, it's the Death card.
Yeah.
Because the Death card in this deck is it's a phoenix being reborn, which is what the Death card represents. Or represents rebirth and starting fresh and starting new. But this card, it's got these bright oranges and yellows in it, and it's just a gorgeous card. And I want to get it blown up and framed on the wall. Like, that's still something I want
to
do.
Some of the stuff I was reading on like how to choose your tarot deck is they honestly say, find a deck that the artwork, you have a connection to the artwork. Because if you get a deck you don't like, you're not going to use it. You're not going to learn anymore. It's just going to sit there. Find one that the pictures draw you to it, and it's going to make it easier to learn and remember. Mm-hmm. And get the feeling of what the card means.
And see, Dave's deck, Dave's is dragons, and there's really cool pictures, but it doesn't speak to me.
Yeah.
And I cannot read his deck of cards because I don't have any association with the cards on his. I'm like, let me pull out my Queen of Wands so that I can tell you what Queen of Wands is, because I have the association with my pictures. And my deck came with a book. Most of the decks will come with a book by the artist.
Yeah.
Where they will describe why they picked that imagery and some of the artwork she has in hers. What I was reading, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like her eight of pentacles is a spider web with a spider on the web. Well, the eight of pentacles is hard work pays off. You know, you got to work hard to do things. What works harder than a spider building a web, taking it down every night?
Yeah.
You know, now there's a deck of tarot cards that I have pictured in my head. I don't know why I have this picture of these tarot cards. I can't really even describe what the images look like. I know the backs of the cards are a dark color. They're like a black or like a navy blue with a golden star or maybe even like a compass rose on it. I have this vision in my head. Don't know where it's come from. But I have decided that this vision that I have of this tarot deck is from a past life. I think it's my tarot deck that I use in a past life.
I think I've seen this deck before, actually.
Maybe it's from a movie that I watched when I was 12 and it just stuck in my head. But I like to think of it as a past life thing.
I always thought it would be interesting to actually, like, especially if you feel like you've had a past life experience, like, and it is coordinated with a item or a thing. Mm-hmm. If you were to ever obtain that thing, if it would unlock that full vision.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I actually just listened to another podcast today that they did a reincarnation episode, and it got me thinking back to our reincarnation episodes, and I was like, yeah, I still need to go get my regression. We need to go do our regressions. But yeah, there's so many different decks out there. I wish we had the space. I would collect tarot decks.
I mean, it wouldn't take that much, though.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. We got two kids.
I can make you little wooden boxes for them.
There you go.
I'm quite the carpenter.
Definitely think it would be cool. I was sitting there. I found some that were metal. metal cards, like aluminum.
That's dangerous.
Cards.
But yeah,
it's like those are so cool.
I wouldn't be allowed to have those. I have an issue of throwing cards.
Oh my! This man, good at it. This man is so accidentally accurate. It's ridiculous.
Who was it? They call me Ricochet. The head with the magic cards.
Corey twice. Right?
Yeah, I've done it twice now. They call me Ricochet because I'll throw a card and it'll be a terrible throw, but it'll bounce off something and get the perfect rotation. And I always hit someone in the face with it. Like I threw it, he ducked and turned his head away from me. It went past him, hit the counter, bounced back off the counter with perfect spin, and hit him straight in the eye. Like, eye open, like, hit his eyeball.
He is the real-life version of Gambit. Yeah. That's exactly what he is.
Don't ask me to throw it straight the first time, because it's not going to happen. But let me bounce it off something.
It's not just cards. Because at work one day, Chad was punching a football that we'd made. Well, basically,
it was a styrofoam material that, I used up, electrical tape and taped up like a football.
And he went to go punt this thing. One of the girl who worked at the front desk, she was like, I don't want to be hit in the face with that. So she turned, went to the other side of the room and turned and faced away from it when he kicked it. The thing
bounced
off the ceiling fan, bounced off the wall, it came back and hit her in the face.
It was like a bank shot.
It's just a superpower of mine. So we would now
also
call myself...
Also a mixture of Bullseye.
Yeah, I'm my superhero nickname is Ricochet.
Yes.
Ricochet.
I just got to work on my power.
I just remember that, and I just thought that was amazing. I'm like, she's purposely got up so she didn't get hit in the face, and she said, I don't want to be hit in the face. And Chad somehow was able to hit her in the face from behind.
I've done it multiple times throwing anything, too. Like, there was a time Eli had gotten a Tac Pro for his PlayStation. And it's kind of like a square box that slides off. Well, then it folds flat. Well, they were making a lot of noise one day in the kitchen or in the dining room playing magic or something like that. And I throw it, and there's a chair next to me. I'm trying to throw it off, hit the chair. It bounces off the chair, takes the perfect rotation again, and hits Eli in the side of the head.
Oh, my.
And I was like, man, I'm really good at this stuff.
Speaking of throwing cards, are you going to start throwing some cards? We're going to do some readings on this episode?
We'll do some readings on this episode. Not there yet.
Cool. I just didn't know.
All right. Now, earlier I mentioned spreads. There are many different spreads based off what you want to learn from the cards. Some spreads are simple, easy 1 to 4 cards, while others, you know, use 10 or more. I personally use mainly 2 different spreads. I know a few other ones. I don't use them a lot. The first one is kind of a modified Celtic cross spread. And if you look up Celtic cross spread, you'll see there's like a card and you lay another one on top of it. It only plays with 10 cards. I use 11 because I throw in a negative force and a positive force. Whereas they just use one card that represents either. I throw both.
Yeah, I was reading one thing. It was saying, you know, when it comes to what pattern you use or whatever, is use whatever you're comfortable with.
Yes.
There's no right or wrong way to set your cards. It's just how you feel comfortable reading it and how you feel like you're getting the most correct reading. So
now with this one, I use it more as like a path reading. Like I was talking about earlier, you know, if I do this, will my outcome be what I want? Or what do I need to change in order for my outcome to be this? The other spread that I use is actually just a 9-card spread. And I use it when I'm doing spirit communication and spirit work. And I have a little story about this that I wanted to kind of share because to me it was kind of amazing how it worked. And in this 9-card spread that I use, and it's something I just kind of came up with my own while I was doing a reading for somebody one day, I was having issues focusing and connecting. And so I started using it and it worked. And so I've just kind of used it ever since. But your first 3 cards that I use are the person that I'm trying to read, the spirit that I'm trying to communicate with. It's what I want them to use to show me what their life was like, beginning, middle, and end. And then the second set of 3 is what their death was like, beginning, middle, and end. And then the third set is what message they want to pass on, beginning, middle, and end. But this one experience that I had, I was reading for our cousin when our aunt passed away. And I don't like reading people I know. I don't like reading people that I know personally because I feel like I have a lot of influence consciously into that that interferes with the reading. So I'm not huge on doing it, but, you know, I know what it's like to lose a parent and I know how good it feels to hear from them. So I was like, all right, I'll do this for you. And I started doing the reading, and I could feel our Aunt Nez, but I couldn't like tune in. Like, yeah. I could feel her, but I couldn't really get with her. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to use these cards. And the first three cards, like I said, it's the life. Well, I knew her in her life. And yeah, it made sense to me. So I was like, I feel like I still was like, yeah, I still feel like I'm putting too much into this. Because I'm also a skeptic, and I don't believe that what I'm doing is actually communicating with spirit sometimes. So I like to test myself when I do this. I go to do my next three sets, or my next three cards, which is her death. And I lay down those three cards, and all of a sudden I have this vision. And I have this vision of our aunt sitting in a brown recliner, brown rocking, rocking recliner type thing. She's just kind of sitting there staring off. And then as I'm watching this happen, then our aunt comes and our cousin comes and grabs her hand, and they squeeze hands, and then she bends down and gives her a kiss on like the cheek or the forehead. And then our aunt looks up, and I just feel this overwhelming sense of love and pride and just bombarded with these emotions. And I was telling our cousin about this, and she told me that that was exactly what had happened like the morning before she died.
Oh, wow.
And they live in California. Honestly hadn't seen them in probably 10, 15 years.
I haven't
years.
Seen our cousin or Aunt Nez before she died. And yeah, I mean, it'd probably been 15, 20 years since they'd been here. Yeah. Since I've seen them, yeah.
Now, I had never been to her house at that point. Now, I've been to her house since then.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. And so those are the moments that I have when I do readings for people that I'm like, okay, maybe this is real. Most of the time I'm doubting what I'm doing. But when I have instances like that, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Again, I'm that, skeptic believer. I want to believe it all. So, but I also have to have proof. But yeah, I use the cards when I do spirit communications for two reasons. One, it gives my conscious brain something to focus on and just shut it up. Like, okay, you focus on this. I'm going to be over here doing this.
Which, I mean, that's manifesting with magic. I mean, that's the step you take to do it.
And then the other part is just because it gives the spirits a way to direct me. I'm sure other mediums have other ways that they do to communicate with spirits. That just works for me. You know, whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But that's what
like
I do.
Said,
it works.
Like I said, there's no wrong way of reading the tarot. Like, yeah. That's one of the first things I read when I was doing like research on how to do tarot is, it said over and over, there's no wrong way to do it. You do what you feel comfortable with and what makes sense to you. And
exactly.
The cards will still do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Now, how do the tarot work? Can't say there's any rhyme or reason to how, why, or even if tarot cards work. I mean, it's all very vague. And a skeptic's going to say, if you make it vague enough, then people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that's me, exactly,
It's just going to be like the normal psychic response when people read horoscopes and you're like, well, that's just a very generic way of saying that.
Yeah.
And that fits a lot of people. It's going to fit more than it doesn't fit.
But in the end, I'm going to say the same thing that I think I said on the mediums episode. I don't care if it's real or not. If it is helping people to feel better about themselves, about their lives, about...
If it gives them the right new direction to go in that might change their lives, it's...
Like,
worth
it. Does it matter whether it's real or not, if it's actually helping people? I don't think so.
I mean, I could say the same thing. I mean, there's chances that it's hurting people, too, because they believe too much into it, and it leads them down the wrong path.
Yeah.
But I would think at the same time, it's helping people or sending people in a new direction that's changing their lives in a better way.
Those people that it's hurting are going to be people who have addictive personalities anyway. And honestly, is having a psychic addiction better than being an alcoholic? Probably. Yeah. So is it really, again, that bad?
It's really all just about perspective.
Yeah. Now, there's another theory out there, and it's kind of a theory that I have along the lines with mediums and psychics as well. And that is that a person who is reading tarot cards is actually reaching into the collective conscious and able to pull information from the collective conscious to then deliver messages. I think that that's very much a way that mediums probably communicate. Even if we're not communicating directly with spirits, we're able to reach and pull the memories and stuff that are needed to help the person that we're reading for.
Yeah.
You know? But that's just one
of
the other.
So, I mean, in a way, even though you're not directly speaking with the dead, you're still pulling from the thoughts they had when they were alive that's trapped inside that collective consciousness.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also the theory that the conscious never dies anyway, so that you're pulling could very well be their conscience that hasn't passed, I mean, that doesn't die, so it's still there.
Yeah.
And so with the tarot cards, I feel like that helps me to focus the dial in. Like, it kind of gives me that little edge to...
It's a tool that keeps your conscience busy so your subconscious can take over, because your conscious doesn't even believe in what you're doing.
Very true.
All psychics or mediums, is they all do something that keeps their conscience busy, yeah. So their subconscious, who's actually, in one way of looking at it, like, your subconscious is using more percentage of your brain than your conscience normally does. So by keeping your conscious busy, your subconscious is able to reach in and make that connection with whatever it is that it's trying to and pull out that information. And then, at least that's how I would look at, I think the subconscious is actually, 'cause I think everyone can access only so much percentage of their brain, and your subconscious can access more. So if you can keep your conscious busy and let your subconscious actually look into that information, they can use that. So
I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm doing this podcast, I'll just start talking about things, and when I play it back, I don't even remember saying that.
I've done it a couple times. I'm very good at subconsciously driving, by the way.
I do that a lot too.
I will zone out for 15 minutes at a time and not know about it.
So, now we're going to do a tarot reading. And I'm going to explain my tarot cards here. I store my tarot cards in a wooden box. I'm wondering if it's resin. There's some resin pieces. But I store it with a crystal, because I feel like crystals hold and conduct energy really well. And I just feel like, I don't know, for some reason I feel like I need to store with crystal to keep the energy flowing through the cards. I also store my pendulum with the cards. And we'll have to do like a mini-sode or something, like maybe something for the
Patreon
with the pendulum. Because I don't think we could do a full episode on pendulums, but pendulums are pretty cool.
Yeah. Or we could do an episode just about different divinations.
Yeah.
Like throwing bones or shells and
things
that we don't know how to do, but we can research into.
Read the bones.
Then we might get addicted. We might have just like, instead of a bunch of boxes to hold my tarot cards, we're going to need like a whole room to hold all of our divination. Like, I have my crystal balls. I still don't know how to use them, but I have them. All right. So, usually you start out by shuffling up your cards. My hands are teeny tiny, so I have to shuffle these cards in a certain way because, I can't hold the cards and shuffle them like a normal deck. They got little hands and they're big cards.
Okay, so what's the question?
We're going to do, on this current path that we're on with the podcast, how will it be successful for us? Break it into three piles.
Why three?
I
do it
in, like,
too.
The power of three? I don't know. I've always
Some of the stuff I was reading on how to do it, I mean, everyone does it different. Some of them don't break into a pile. Some of them, how they do it is they just shuffle them up. They're like, the reader shuffles them up, and then they spread them out, let them take a card.
Yeah.
And then then you let their, when you're redoing the reading for, shuffle them up and put their energy into thinking of that question.
Now, when I first learned about them, I was told you never let anybody else touch your cards.
Yeah, so what I was shown is you let them shuffle them.
Everything I've read and seen since then, it's, they shuffle them, they pick the cards, all that. So I don't know. I don't think it really matters.
More than one way to skin a cat.
Meow. All right, so we're going to do my modified Celtic cross. The first card is going to represent myself. And since I'm the question who asked the question, I'm the Inquisitor. And I get the Seven of Wands. The Seven of Wands is protective, fierce, like, but it's wand, so it's projects, so I'm protective over the projects that I create, which is very true. I'm a little bit of a controlling person.
So it's really? No. It
might be a little flaw of mine, but I am very particular over what we talk about, very particular over how I edit the podcast, things like that. I mean, I made these guys redo a couple of podcasts because I wasn't happy with the original. So, makes sense that I'm very protective. My next card, this is going to be a positive influence. And I get the major arcana, Temperance. Temperance is going to be...
Temperance is the balancing of different aspects of your life.
Okay. Yes, there we go. So that's the positive, is able to balance. Flow with harmony. He looked at me like he was about to say something.
Oh.
One with harmony.
Yeah. My negative influence is actually the Two of Pentacles. No. Yeah, the Two of Pentacles. And the Two of Pentacles is also balance. As you can see on my card, it's a guy juggling two coins while standing on one foot. While the monkey looks at him like, what the fuck are you doing? I'll just take pictures of this and post it on the Instagram and Facebook and all that so people can see the cards. So I guess, and it's pentacles, so it's going to be earthly material things. So I'm going to interpret that as my kind of negative influence is maybe not being so good at balancing finances and money. So maybe that's something you guys need to take over of the podcast and not me. I'm just going to say that. Probably Dave. Dave's really good at saving.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
This next card is going to be my conscious self. We have the Nine of Pentacles. And the Nine of Pentacles is creative, maybe a little bit too much control, a little too controlling, but creative and producing creativity. I'm not good at reading. This is why I read for myself and not anybody else. My subconscious self is the Chariot. And that means that you're taking the reins, you're moving forward, going ahead.
Kind of like we talked about how there's times on the podcast your subconscious takes over and just starts talking and gets us where we need to be going.
My subconscious is basically leading the way.
Yeah.
And when you talk about what we talk about in the podcast, especially with the spiritualism and things like that, it's probably not a bad thing to have the subconscious take control because it's going to know more than my conscious, because obviously my conscious just stutters. My sixth card. This is a past influence that is driving me. Now, this is the Knight of Swords. And the Knight of Swords is going to be very quick to go forth and move, quick action, and not going to really care about feelings or emotions or any of that stuff. They got the goal. They're going. They're going to attack. They're going to go. All right. My next card is my near future. I am going to be rewarded. I've got the Six of Wands. And I'll get to rejoice and enjoy my reward for my hard work. And that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to take a trip.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about going to stay at the Skirvin. Maybe we'll get to do it. I don't know. That'd be a nice, fun way to celebrate the podcast.
Yeah. Got to get Mom to watch the kids, though.
Yeah, she'd do it. All right. This next card is my feelings, thoughts, fears, all of that. And it is my favorite card. That is death. And this card represents to me rebirth. And if this podcast is not a rebirth of me, for me, I don't know what else is.
Oh, it 100% is.
Like,
you become a completely different person from starting this podcast.
I've gotten to become who I am.
Yeah.
And I was cleaning up the house today because our son's birthday party is tomorrow. And I have all my occult books and stuff like that I usually hid in a bookshelf in our closet because I didn't want anybody to see them. And I'm like, I'm going to put these right here where everybody can see them.
We talked about this in the retrospect episode, I think, about how, like, you and me, we're now more open about what our interest in the occult.
Yeah.
And how we talk about it more freely now than we ever have before. Before, it was normally just you, me, and Dave sitting around here after game night or something.
Now we're talking to 30 people.
Yeah. Talking to 30 people.
That number's going to grow.
All over the world.
All over the world.
And then we talk about it at work.
Oh, yeah.
And
I get in trouble with talking about it at work.
See, I've even got my cauldron sitting up there. Most people didn't know I had a cauldron. I have a cauldron. I use my cauldron in rituals. I use my cauldron as decoration most of the time. But it sat in the closet for how long? Because I was I don't want people to think I, you know.
I want people to think I'm a witch.
Now I don't freaking care. Yeah, I've got like 3 or 4 cauldrons, actually. That's just the big one.
I've got, she does her animal sacrifices. I mean,
No, I like animals.
They're brony sacrifices, though.
I sacrifice humans. I don't like people. I love animals.
Can I be here for the next one? not be the next one. But
just
be here
kidding.
For
I have
the
not
next
sacrificed
one.
Any life form. Well, not true. I kill plants on a regular basis, but that is just not having a green thumb. But yes, this podcast has definitely been a big rebirth, and I definitely feel that. The next card is Outside Influences. And we have the Fool. I think it's because the Fool is the learner. The Fool knows nothing, has no whims about it. They just go. They just take a leap of faith. And I think a lot of, maybe even our listeners are that way. They're taking a leap of faith to listen to our podcast. Like, I've definitely listened to some podcasts that I'm like, yeah, no, I didn't like that one. But I've listened to a lot that I really do like. So I think I think this card resembles our listeners. And I'm not calling our listeners fools. The Fool is a great card to be.
Yeah.
Because the Fool is the start and is full of hope and
innocence.
Yeah, innocence and growth. And there's only one way for it to go.
And he has a thirst for knowledge and a thirst for adventure.
And my Fool card is very pretty. It's like a woman standing on the edge of like a little cliff. She's got a fox underneath her, and she's got doves flying around her, pulling on her ribbons and stuff. And she looks like she's about to fall off the cliff. But she's happy, and she's going to swan dive. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Random fact, you know the Fool was the last card to ever be numbered?
That's why the zero?
Mm-hmm. The Fool was actually never numbered up until, I think, 1900 or something like that, and they decided that it would give it the zero. It would be the Omega card, be the start or the finish. So,
oh,
interesting.
And that goes back to that cycle thing, because you know, once you get to 22, you gotta cycle back around.
Yeah. The next card is the guidance card. Maybe something that I don't know that I need to know. And we have the Ace of Pentacles. And the Ace of Pentacles is going to be the start of something. And this podcast is definitely the start of something, but it's also Pentacles, so we're talking a physical thing. Whether it be money or merchandise or something, you know, I don't know, something of that nature.
Followers or...
Yeah, it's something here on the earthly plane. But then our final outcome, and this, the question was, what will be our success? And we get another major arcana, and we get strength. And I think that's pretty important. I think, like the death and our rebirth in this whole setup, we're going to find a new strength in ourselves. And personal development is very, very important.
I mean, I can already see it with all of our growth in being able to talk about, and just public speaking or just talking in general. We've all gotten a lot better going from the first episode to now, how we speak in the podcast up to how now, plus speaking, just talking outside of the podcast, I'm more comfortable talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had like a stuttering issue and self-conscious about how when I speak. And doing this podcast has helped me kind of come out of that a little bit.
I was never one to reach out and talk to somebody I didn't know. Since we've been doing this podcast, I will reach out and to talk to other podcasts on Instagram or emails and all that stuff. And just today, there's another podcast, Grognostics. If you need to go listen to Grognostics. They talk about a lot of the stuff we do. They just do it with beer. And so they discuss the different beer. But they've covered a lot of the same episodes. They've covered the reincarnation. They've done the Mandela effect. They also interviewed PIOT. I mean, we seem to have a lot in common. And I was talking to Steve today on Instagram. And I think we're actually going to eventually do maybe a
combined
episode with them, which I think will be awesome. But definitely check them out. They're great. great podcast. And one of their wives, his name is Amy, and Amy's are super awesome. So power to the Amy's.
Super awesome Amy.
Super awesome Amy's. So with this spread that we have done, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 major arcana. This podcast is a huge part of my life. And big part of you guys, you guys' life.
You guys'
y'all's life.
Y'all's life.
Y'all's life down there. I tell you what.
Oklahoma corner.
All right. So I think that that's pretty representative of this being a big, important part of our lives. When you look at the other cards, wands, we've got 2 wands.
We have a lot of pinnacles.
2 wands and 3 pinnacles. So it's definitely more of a earthly thing, earthly project. We only have 1 sword, and the 1 sword is actually the driving force. It's what's pushing us forward. And swords are swift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would say we started this really quickly. It was an idea that had been brewing for a while.
We had joked about it during our normal game nights we used to have. And then you guys just one night.
We just one night went to the store.
You referenced that. You were like, yeah, let's start a podcast.
Let's just do it.
Swords Mr. also, swords also, they bring about change.
Yeah. And we I think I had a major change in my life at the time that we started this podcast. As that's when I had that panic attack that landed me in the ER. And I finally got medication for anxiety. And I think that was a huge change in my life. Because I didn't realize how anxious of a person I was until I wasn't anxious.
No.
And so it was a new eye-opener. I would have never started the podcast. I would have been so anxious that I don't know how to do it, so then I can't do it. And you know,
I don't know how people are going to react. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that is definitely a propelling force. Now I don't care. If you don't like the podcast and you don't like what we say, don't listen to us. You know.
You know, that reminds me of an old adage of when you doubt yourself, you limit yourself.
Yes, very much so. And I was full of self-doubt. And honestly, getting on that medication, I mean, when I didn't care anymore about what people thought, all kinds of opportunities opened up in front of me. And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. Heck, we even had tornado warnings the other day, and I wasn't flipping out. I was just watching the news. Like, normally, I would be panicked. I would have just been, like, sleeping in the storm shelter.
I didn't even turn on the news.
Yeah,
I honestly
hate tornadoes.
I would have been sleeping in the storm shelter. Honestly, I would have been like, this ain't happening.
Mom told me to go unlock the storm shelter, and I just kept playing video games. I was like, if it gets me, it gets me.
This time, I just told our daughter to leave her shoes on in case we needed to run to the storm shelter.
Yeah.
But it's like, whatever. Like, I wasn't freaking out. Normally, I'm, like, on the edge of my seat watching the news, like, oh, my God. And they'll mention a town that maybe, like, 15 miles from us. And I'm like, ah. And they're like, it's heading the opposite direction. I don't care. It's too close.
That's crazy.
But, so, definitely, that is the, I think that's a lot of to do with the night. It's that change, that swift action into this podcast. I need to make sure that I'm able to balance life. And I feel like I can balance work and home and the podcast pretty well. I don't stress over one particular thing too much.
The materialistic side of the podcast.
Yeah.
Whether it be doing merchandise or money or...
And we actually, I think, are going to start some merchandise here soon because Chad has drawn us some pretty awesome pictures.
I got it. They're quick. They were rough draft, so now I've actually got to put it on with pencil and
so
paper.
So I think we're going to try to get some stuff going. Now
I'm looking at the imagery of these two cards you just referenced. One that's your opposing force and one that's your helpful force.
Uh-huh.
And your opposing force, he's juggling the two items, right? Uh-huh. He's juggling the two balls. But in the helpful force, it's like the two have merged together and she's just kind of holding it there.
Just kind of embracing it.
Yeah. Kind of embracing it instead of juggling it. Yeah. You know?
Finding ways to make everything fit together is a struggle. Yeah. I think any working mother or any, you know, you run into that. Trying to find a way to have time for your kids, for work, and for yourself. And the podcast is definitely for myself. and work is work. Yeah. I'm lucky in the fact that I have a lot of flexibility when it comes to the kids. So, like, I was able to take off last week when they were on winter vacation. So, that's nice.
I wish I had that ability.
Oh, you did. You did take a whole week off. Oh, but that was because you were sick.
I would totally rather have the money from work than the things I lost. Including what? Lunches and dinners.
And about 20 pounds.
Probably.
I like that the Six of Wands is coming. Because it's always nice that when you're in the process of doing things to get to stop and celebrate what you have accomplished. And for me, I get to celebrate what we've accomplished every time I log on and see we have new listens. And every time I log on and look at the map of where everybody's listening from, I get super excited. I'm like, oh, look, our Swedish listeners.
She's always calling me in the office. Chad, come look at this. The person from here is listening. We're international.
Oh, and when we get feedback, too.
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of feedback today.
We all get super
excited. We had somebody comment on CastBox about how they just couldn't listen to the episode because the sound quality. And so I commented back, yeah, our sound quality sucks in the first few episodes. We are aware of this. Started episode 10. It's 10 to 12. 12, I think, is probably the best. That was the Unearthing Halloween.
Yeah.
But I think our Past Lives wasn't too bad.
I think Past Lives was pretty good.
Superstitions was but that was...
That was still, we didn't have all the everything set
we
up.
We didn't have all everything set up, and we were tired, because like I said, that was the one that we went until like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we were just like, ugh. We're going to finish this episode. Because we tried to push 2 episodes into one night, and we started late.
We finished one. It was like 11:50, and it's like, okay, should we go ahead and stop here? Like, oh, we're not that far. Let's just go through it. And yeah, it was until 2 o'clock in the morning before we were able to finish it. And I know I was exhausted. Austin had lost all care.
Yeah, he was just over there playing on his phone. Yeah. But yeah, I think all in all, this is a very positive reading. I can see a lot of this information. I don't know if I portrayed it well over the air, but I'll take a picture of the cards. Everybody can look at the cards. I don't know. Tarot is really interesting stuff, and it's really cool what you can discover about yourself. There's a lot of internalizing and communicating with your subconscious when you do it, because sometimes you'll get a card and be like, I don't like that card. And then you start thinking about, well, maybe if I don't like that card, how can I change that card? You know, I think that's going to do it, unless anybody else has anything else they want to add.
Nope. Like I said, though, before, like after doing this episode, I'm really interested. I'm probably going to have to order me some tarot cards. And
oh, last night, I was going to mention this. Last night when we did, Dave does relationship spreads. Like, he's really good at the relationship spreads. And he did relationship spreads last night for our podcast members. And he did one with Chad and I, and he did one with him and Eli. Chad and I we're good buddies.
Simpactico.
Fist bump.
We got this. Chad looks up to me. He worships me.
I also look down on him because of my height.
He thinks I'm the world.
I don't think so at all.
Oh, that's
Dave, you and I
might be pushing that a little, but
you and I are a little fuzzy. Is that what that means?
Oh.
But you've got a strong connection.
Yeah. Strong, yeah, we got a strong connection.
It's over our nerdyism.
Nerdyism.
Yeah,
I think so.
that's a word.
That's one of my new words.
Yeah,
nerdyisms.
The nerdyism.
Yeah. I follow the Church of Nerd.
the Halo theme song.
That sounds like
you.
It sounds like oompa,
oompa, loompa, do ready do. I've got another problem for you.
Oompa. Oompa
doobity doo.
Something about a girl that's blue. I don't know.
I actually probably should finish this out, huh?
Amy just started playing on her phone.
I was going to start taking pictures. Like, oh, yeah, we got to finish the podcast. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode officially. If you are a professional tarot reader, we would actually love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Tell me how much I screwed up.
If you're close to Norman and you have some place we can come and get it done, let us know, because I would be interested in getting it done professionally.
Yeah, definitely would be really fun. Yeah, anybody that reads tarot, just let us know. You send us an email at umpnormalcy@gmail.com. You can also message us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at umpnormalcy. Chad still needs Twitter followers. If anybody thinks Chad is worthy of your...
It's the whole podcast, people. It's not just me.
Yeah, except for I don't use Twitter. So I made a Twitter account to follow our Facebook page, or to follow our Twitter. But yeah, send us a message on there. Like us, follow us on all of those. You should be able to find us on iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify. I know we're on a few other ones that, you know, feed out from those others. But
see, I like CastBox a lot. That's what I've been using lately. I was using Google Play, and they were having issues with getting things out on time.
Yeah.
But I like CastBox. It sends me a notification when the new one's out.
It automatically downloads it for me.
Yeah, and it does that too, but it also like it will send me a notification like, hey, the new episode of Unearthing Paranormalcy is out.
Yeah.
And so I can listen to it.
I usually do CastBox or Stitcher. Those are, or Spotify sometimes, but yeah. I use multiple podcast apps, and that's why I want to be on as many as possible. So if you've got a podcast app that you prefer, that you want to see us on, let us know, and we'll see what it takes to get on there.
Now, people can always listen right through our Buzzsprout where we host, right?
Yes, our hosting is through Buzzsprout, and you can find us on there. Usually when I post links, I add that on there. I hope to get a website up and going, and when we get a website up and going, then you'll be able to listen directly from the website. I'll link it to something.
And once we get the website going or something, maybe one day we'll have to do like a live, like a,
that would be
web,
awesome.
Like a web show, like do an episode. Streaming like a
I don't know if I could
like
do that because that would mean that people would be watching me.
Point the camera directly at these eyes.
Well, we don't have to do it live. We can just record us doing it, and so they can see us do the goofy stuff we do.
You see Chad doing all his inappropriate tan gestures.
I haven't done one.
That
today,
was safe.
Thank you.
That was safe.
You will actually. What you will do is you will watch Dave over there reading, and then you'll see Chad and I, who are more like the kids in the back of the classroom, goofing off while the teacher is talking. And then Dave will ask us a question, and we're like, "Uh huh, what you said."
What is the answer of 2 + 2? Detroit.
Again, math man.
Math man.
Oh yes, but
and his sidekick.
We have fun. We have lots of fun. So that's the important thing, right?
Yep.
So follow us if you like what we're doing. If you want to help us out, so we can afford to go on these trips to the Skirvin or wherever we want to go. If you want to help us pay for better equipment, so our sound quality
is better,
as good and all that stuff. Check out our Patreon. I promise I'm going to get some more stuff uploaded.
It's about time, yeah.
All right, well, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. So until next time.
Keep digging.
Mothman!
Bye.
Got to change it from reptilians now that we have Mothman.
Mothman.